everybody, and welcome to another Spiritual Hollywood Hour. I'd like to thank Don Newsome over at BBS Radio for giving us this wonderful opportunity to raise consciousness in Hollywood by using Hollywood and raise consciousness globally by using this radio station. So thank you so much. And I'm Kate Romero, your host for Spiritual Hollywood, and I have a wonderful guest with me this evening who you will very much enjoy. His name is Ike Krieger. And if you'd like to call up his website just so you can follow along and get a good sense of what he's up to, go to www.businesssuccessbuilder.com. That's www.businesssuccessbuilder.com. That's a lot of S's. Wow. So go ahead and check out the website, and you'll see, I think you'll see Ike there when he's a little boy with Howdy Doody, as a matter of fact, if you look a little closely. I met Ike Krieger at a networking breakfast for the Chamber of Commerce in the Valley, and he was the moderator for the morning. And what energy, what energy. Nobody needed any coffee. We just drank it because we're used to it, but we didn't need it with him at the podium. And very, very impressive things to say, and a long, long history of teaching, coaching, and helping people reach their peak potential. And his coaching is, once you're in the game, you want to produce extraordinary results, and his coaching program can help you achieve those results in the three important areas of your business, which we're going to discuss. Creativity, developing your vision and strategy, and your revenue streams. It's good to have lots and lots of revenue streams, doing things that you love. Marketing and sales, letting your market know about your product or expertise in a dignified way, and then helping them clarify the reasons that they should own and use what you offer, like all the actors out there, that applies to you as well. Fulfillment, giving your clients what they want rather than giving them what you want, and delivering impeccable customer service in a timely and professional manner. All of these things matter. They count so very, very much in business and in life. He also does teleclasses, which are a really cool, wonderful way to, you know, because we all have these very, very busy lives, to just, you know, listen in on the telephone, ask questions, take notes. Speaking of taking notes, grab some paper and a pen. You're going to want to take notes during this interview, and I'm going to welcome and encourage call-ins. So anybody who would like to call in, the phone numbers are toll-free in the U.S. only, 877-876-5227, and toll-free in Canada only is 888-815-9756. And if you want a direct line, that's 530-876-3222. And the folks at the radio station are wonderful, so don't be bashful. Please call in and get your questions answered. Ike is also, as I mentioned, a very good speaker, and he's the right speaker and has the right topic and can make all the difference in the world at all of your company meetings and retreats. He's a great guy, and without further ado, I'd like to bring on Ike Krieger. Hello, Ike.
Hello, Katie.
Nice for you to join us.
It is a delightful opportunity, and I'm here with you, and I couldn't be more pleased. So where do we go from here?
Where we go from here is we ask you how you decided that you would love to be a coach and mentor people and do what it is that you do that I just described. What was the bug that bit you?
Well, how interesting. First of all, I was a speech teacher in college. And as a communications trainer, I was helping people be more effective at what all of us learned how to do when we were growing up, and that is learning how to convince and influence people to get them to do what you want them to do, to buy what you want them to buy. And so my natural progression from being a speech educator was to learn in my graduate work propaganda techniques, broadcast audience analysis, all of these things which helped me understand what it was that it took to move people from where they are to where you'd like them to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked on this for, maybe 10, 12 years until I realized here I had become an expert at convincing and influencing people, and it finally dawned on me. I hated it when anybody tried to do that to me.
Yeah.
I hated it. And here I was teaching people all over the country how to be more effective at what our prospects, our clients, our casting directors, whatever it is that you're dealing with,
mm-hmm.
don't like. And that's, oh, please buy from me. If you just know me well enough and can learn to love me and trust me, you'll be so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that call for me to shift gears, and I developed what is now known as Krieger Training.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to what I'm doing now, which is helping business people and corporations altogether feel more confident, be more productive, and bottom line, be more profitable.
Yeah, not only that, but with some corporations, I mean, not to sound unkind or judgmental about certain people, but you know, I would rather be sold something to by a person who has a lot of charisma. And if anybody gets anything out of your coaching, they're going to get more charisma, or at least they're going to tap into their innate charisma and not be afraid to use it, because it does take a certain amount of charisma to get people's attention, to get them to want to gravitate towards you and what it is you have to say and what it is that you're selling. Is that correct?
It is correct. And as with the law of attraction, if your outcome is to attract, you're really short-circuiting the whole process. The law of attraction, whether it's in sales or whether it's in life, has to do with a commitment to be in conversation, in dialogue, in relationship, in business with people, but it doesn't mean you're tied to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the difference comes in. You can be, I guess, as passionate as you would like to be if your goal, and something I teach, is if you're committed to helping those that you're dealing with rather than doing it just to help yourself, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just different than the system I teach.
Okay, so another way to say that, correct me if I'm mistaken,
okay,
would be that anything you're doing in life, no matter what it is, if you're dealing with the public, to find a way to be of service to the public and come from a place of being of service rather than giving them an opportunity to make their life easier, and coming at them with that approach of being of service rather than saying, give me, give me, give me. And instead, you're saying, here, I have something to give you.
Well, yes, and you can. And the approach that I ask people to consider is that we have an internal dialogue about how we communicate and pretty much who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And that internal dialogue says that whatever it is you're going out to do to sell, and I don't care if it's an idea you have yourself, as a job interview, a product, a service, getting a date,
mm-hmm.
we're all in sales,
mm-hmm.
and we're all selling all of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about our internal dialogue about selling and salespeople, in most cases it's not very flattering.
Right.
When I talk to, especially rooms filled with professionals, professional salespeople, and I ask them what's the first word that comes to mind when I say salesman, the responses are not flattering.
Right.
You get pushy, used car, you get all of these things, which leads me to ask them to reframe their whole internal dialogue about sales and selling. Stop thinking about themselves as having to go out and sell something to somebody, and think of themselves more as a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Zig Ziglar, who is a name that is familiar to most people, he said you can get whatever you want by helping others get what they want.
Absolutely.
And I truly believe that.
Yes, absolutely.
And the way we were taught to sell does not line up with that.
No.
So I produced, through all of my years of training and teaching and everything, I distilled a way to, an optional way to deal with that whole conversation, and that is as a problem solver. But that calls for three definitions, which go back to your original question about business.
Mm-hmm. What are those three definitions?
The first definition is a problem. Now, we all know when we have a problem, but the idea that we can define that emotion is pretty difficult for most people.
Mm-hmm.
So I came up with a definition for the word problem that works in this system, and that's when there's a difference between what you have and what you want. And in that case, a problem could actually be something positive.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like an example of a positive problem?
Yes.
My yacht is too small.
Yes, sir. I have too much money for my piggy bank.
Yeah, I have so much money, it's no longer insured at the bank. I need to find another place to put it.
Yes.
That's overseas. A difference between what you have and what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the case of the yacht, who would be the problem solver?
A yacht salesman.
A yacht salesman. In the case of your money being, too much,
yes,
who would you go
bank
see?
Account.
You'd go see a banker.
Yeah.
So, that's our definition of problem.
Okay.
Which leads us to our definition of business,
mm-hmm.
which is business is the ability to solve other people's problems and get compensated for it.
I love that. That just so demystifies the whole thing and de-demonizes it.
It really does because,
yeah.
you know, if they don't have your problem and, you know, that you just go out and your goal is to find people who have the issues that you resolve and have them convince you that they really want them resolved.
Yes, and then you just happen to have the solution.
Or you are candid with them and refer them to someone who does.
Absolutely, and sometimes just giving a very, very good referral, remember you, and when they are ready for what you're offering, to come back to you. So
yes.
The first impressions are very, very lasting ones, and when you give people choices, and, I mean, one thing that I used to do when I was an actor and a single mom in Hollywood, which meant I really had to keep working a lot because I like to keep food on the table and my son, you know, feeling secure and happy, and myself as well. So I put together a card that says, we respect your right to choose. Thank you for choosing us. And that card opened so many doors for me. And I just used it as a thank you card and with my picture and my son's picture on the front. But it was a cute little marketing tool that really did respect everyone's choices.
Here's another great little line if you want to use it, and then I'll get back to our conversation.
Okay.
You hand out a card that says, my competition should charge less.
That took a second. Wait, let me write that down.
Well, they were listening. Well, they should charge less.
Okay.
So. We've got our definition of problem and our definition of business.
Uh-huh.
The third definition is closing, which is the famous sales term for, you know, finishing the deal, getting the check, making sure it clears,
mm-hmm.
making sure it clears, and really getting down to a point where you are able to make the sale.
Mm-hmm.
And so what issue we face with this definition is turning around, again, that negative emotion that goes with the term closing. So closing is creating an environment where your prospect or the person that you're, quote, selling to
mm-hmm.
comes
casting
to the conclusion.
Casting director, for instance.
They just come to the conclusion on their own that the product or service or you will do what for them?
Solve their problem.
Solve their problem.
Yep.
And we all know what that looks like. It's that little look that people have where they go, oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah, it's a gut feeling, that intuitive feeling that, all right, this person, I'm going to allow them to be my problem solver. And we don't go through that dialogue, but that truly is the decision.
Well, yeah, and you always hear in the background somewhere a little noise like this, ka-ching.
Yeah. Yeah, very much so. But
yeah.
Here is the problem that most of us go through in life, especially when it comes to sales. And this is the issue that I address first and foremostly.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when we go out, and there's nothing nefarious or dark about what I'm about to suggest, but when we go out to market our product, market our service, market ourselves, in most cases, whose problem are we trying to solve?
Well,
this is not about Katie. This is about most people when they're out there marketing and selling their wares.
Well, they're trying to solve their own problem of losing money.
Very much so. And with this system, if you solve other people's problems and get compensated for it, if you're focusing on their problems, what happens to your problems?
It goes away.
Yes, it's a kinder and gentler approach, especially for the internal dialogue that you have, to think of yourself as, okay, I'm going to go out and make a sale today.
Mm-hmm.
It can be daunting.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can wake up in the morning, rub your hands together with glee and go, whose problem can I solve today? Bring it on.
Yeah. And, you know, I have a wonderful phrase that I wake up with, and I'll share that with you and our listeners. And it's like a lot of people, you know, sales is different. You know, it can be difficult. It's a perception, and a lot of people have the perception that it's difficult, as we were discussing, and they tend to have a feeling that the world is conspiring to do them harm or to cause them to fail or whatever it is. But I like to wake up in the morning and say, "How will the world conspire to do me good today?"
That's an attraction comment.
Yes. And I go out and I find a way for the world to do me good today. And it does me good all day long. And it doesn't matter if I had a flat tire or whatever, because when I go fix the flat, I meet some people who I have an enlivening conversation with and make a great connection. And you just never know why you've attracted that situation in your life. But there's always a gift, just like Cracker Jacks.
It works just like that. And once people who work with me are able to make that shift, and for some people it's a challenge to switch from the whole idea of, oh, I've got to go out and market and sell, versus going out and just being authentic in your communication with people, trying to uncover what issues they might have that either you can solve or somebody that you know you can refer them to be solved. But it's about being a service. And this is you'll excuse the supposed pun, but too many people pay lip service to service. And they use that as the way supposedly to set themselves apart from their competition, where they go, oh, well, you know what sets us apart? Good service. And when I'm out doing my speaking engagements, I do an exercise about that, and I'll have everybody write on the back of their cards what sets them apart from their competition. And over the years, I've gotten it, not in round numbers, 87%. 9 out of 10 say service is what sets them apart. So if you look at that, what they're saying that sets them apart from their competition, is the same thing their competition is saying sets them apart from them.
Right.
So what is the consumer here when all of these people are saying, well, we do this and we give good service? They go, oh, great, another company that gives good service. When I hear someone go, well, we give good service, I go, duh, you better.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be a big benefit like that. And then I started coaching on how to communicate more profitably using the mindsets and the definitions we just discussed.
Right. So what would you recommend that those people write on the back of their business card? Just something unique about themselves that's different that no one's heard before?
One of those, the thing that I suggest is that you look as a problem solver at the problem that you solve. And most people are not really aware of the problem they solve. They're aware of what they do and what they provide, but they're not really aware of the problem they solve. And if you can, and I'm using the term language as a verb here, if you can language your communication in such a way where you can either put it in one line or you can say it to someone, the problem that you solve that most people in your marketplace have, you will differentiate yourself from your competition, because language is a key differentiating point.
Well, I keep having speaking of language, after I had a meeting with you and discussed all this, it got the wheels turning in my brain, and they have not stopped. They're just speeding up. And I'm just finding catchphrases all over the place. And one that I just cannot stop thinking about is this one. I'll just share it. Success doesn't come out of the blue. We pull success out of you. And for life coaching, I think that's a pretty good thing to say. What do you think about that?
I think that is a great slogan, and I would suggest that would be the type of slogan that everybody should look for. And my question is we pull the success out of you, what problem does that solve?
It solves a person's failure problem.
It solves the fact that the success is in there, but it's up to now been hidden.
It's hidden. I uncover that for them.
So it's so frustrating that someone who has all the potential you do still has that success hidden away. We can pull that out.
Yes, and I know I can help them.
Right, and that's the problem, is that they're frustrated because their success is hidden inside, and they need someone to help them get it out.
Absolutely, and I see it in every person that I look at. Some people can walk in a house and see, you know, a broken-down house and see it absolutely beautiful because they've got a sense for design, and I walk into a place and see a person, and I see their perfection, no matter if they're slumped over, living on the street or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
I see their perfection, and I just have a natural instinct and drive and passion to try to help them see it too. It's just innate. It's organic, and I can't help myself. So being a life coach is really, really a good vocation for me, and that's also why I'm a talent manager, so I can mentor my clients into seeing their own divinity and finding that light within themselves that makes them stand apart from all others.
And that's the problem you solve for them, that they are unaware of their greatness.
Yes, and they don't even know I'm doing it.
Well, that's what do they call that, elegance?
I think so, simplicity, yes.
Elegance and simplicity.
Yes.
I didn't even know I was being helped.
Yes, but it's like it's osmosis. It happens by osmosis, and I just love every client that I have. They're wonderful humans first, and extremely talented on top of that. But my requirement is wonderful human first. You know, talent can be honed, but your humanity is something that you come with.
Well, when it's interesting that you go to that direction. If I can move away from the whole sales conversation for a second, there is an exercise called the have, do, be exercise.
Have, do?
Have, do, and be, those three words.
Uh-huh.
And many people live their lives using this model, saying if I only had more education, if I only had a better agent, then I could go do what it is that I'm good at, and then I could be what it is that I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
When you ask somebody who just gets off the Greyhound bus in Hollywood, why are you here? Well, I want to be an actor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a someday, maybe, I hope conversation versus who I am as an actor, and
uh-huh.
I'm coming here
yes.
to work.
Got it.
So who I am as an actor takes the have, the do, and the be, and turns it around 180 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's a be, do, have. If who you are is an actor, who you are is an effective salesman, what is it that you do? Well, you do what effective salespeople do. And then what do you have? You have what effective people, whether it be a salesperson, an actor, or a CEO, has. So you end up having a very different model for thinking of the future than we were given as children. Where I said, well, if you just study hard and learn, I think it was Aristotle who said, for those things we have to learn before we can do them, we learn by doing them.
Yes.
And most people go, well, I can't get started. I can't do this because I don't have enough X, you know,
mm-hmm.
the hidden factor.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're aware that the X is just hanging out inside and they just need the freeway ramp redone so it can get off and be used.
It's like I call that an ant running around a Cheerio looking for an exit ramp.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So, you know, we offer at least, if not an exit ramp, certainly a doorway or a pathway
mm-hmm.
that allows them to see options in their life that
mm-hmm.
they may not have seen before, not because they're not smart, not because they're not great, but it's just we weren't trained to think of things like that in this culture.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's wonderful. So it's really a consciousness shift.
Very much.
And I know for me and that there are two words that are the most powerful two words you can say to begin any sentence. And those words are I am.
Mm-hmm.
I am. Like you said, get off the Greyhound bus. I want to maybe someday be an actor. No, you say I am an actor. I am gainfully employed. I am highly successful. I am extremely healthy. I am attractive. I am healthy. Healthy came up twice.
That's a declaration, and people are afraid to declare themselves. They're afraid to identify themselves as something great.
I know. We fear our greatness more than anything.
Very much so. And if you look at the difference between, you know, people, if you want to declare yourself, because that's what you're doing when you get off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going, well, I'm going to try to be an actor. You are declaring yourself to be an actor, and you are here to work. That is your declaration. How are you going to do that? Well, you may not have that totally set yet as you're getting off the bus.
Mm-hmm.
But once you figure out what your plan is, you have done what is known as constituting.
Mm-hmm.
You have written a constitution, which is basically your plan,
mm-hmm.
based on your declaration. And the best example of this is our country, the United States.
Mm-hmm.
When the founding fathers declared the United States to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't know how they were going to do it.
Yeah, you can't worry about the how.
They didn't worry about how they were going to do it. They said, well, now that we've declared ourselves who we are, this free nation called the United States,
mm-hmm.
now we better sit down and write up some guidelines. And about 10, 11, 12 years later, they finished the Constitution, which we still use because they took the time to figure out a plan that fit their declaration. And if the listeners can think in terms of who they are in their life,
mm-hmm.
declare who they are, like who they want to be, but declare it in the present,
yes.
and then figure out, okay, so I'm a successful dentist.
Mm-hmm.
What do dentists do? I'm a successful coach.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that a successful coach does? I mean, do they get on the phone at 9 o'clock in the morning? Do they do these marketing things? Do they do, what is it that they do that has them be successful?
They coach.
Yeah, and it has to do with them declaring. You go, well, maybe I'm going to coach, but I need to know more things before I start. Versus if you have the passion and the gift.
Yeah.
How do you learn? You learn by doing.
Yes, and if you're an intuitive person and you see a block in a person and people gravitate towards you, like for me, for instance, if I may elaborate just a tad bit on where this all started for myself as a coach, being that you're a coach as well. When I was on the playground at recess in first grade, all the kids would line up to talk to me during recess about their family, and I found that very interesting. Apparently something I was saying back to them was helping them, so they would just keep coming and keep talking. And every job I've ever had on my coffee break, I had people lined up talking to me on my coffee break.
Sound like Lucy in Peanuts with the 5-cent help there on the kindergarten.
Right, right, but I would never dream of charging. But then this wonderful, wonderful friend of mine who happened to be a very talented talent agent at a very big agency in Los Angeles, we would go to dinner every few weeks and talk. It just was a very good friend. And he told me one day, he says, you know, Katie, every time I go to dinner with you, I'm high for 3 weeks. You really need to be a life coach and charge money for this. And he said, I was planning on going to therapy just to work out some issues, but I'm not going to give my money to them. I'd rather hire you to coach me. So I coached him for a couple of years, and he was my first client. And he's thriving. He just really just grew in quantum leaps. And so it's something that I've always loved to do. And I was born an indigo, if you know what that is. It's just spiritually wide awake and very intuitive. So I can see right into a person of what it is that is blocking them, and I just go, well, you know, turn the key over there and the motor will start. You know, to me, I can see it. But, you know, sometimes it's very difficult for other people because they're too close to the subject.
Intuitively, coaching was a challenge for me because growing up, I was not a great listener.
Ah.
I was as you have gotten to know me, I'm a verbal kind of guy.
Very, yes.
And I just, you know, would all of a sudden, you know, I would jump in with what I think needed to be done. And it just was I was an advice giver. I wasn't a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And once the listening skills got into place, and I know the famous Stephen Covey quote, which is listening with an intent to understand rather than an intent to reply.
I love that.
And so do I.
Mm-hmm.
And I really moved towards listening with an intent to understand, and it made all the difference.
Like that's clear.
15, 20 years.
And yeah, that's clear. And I just want to discuss something, get your feedback on this as well.
Sure. Like,
And for anyone out there listening who would like to find a way to remember Ike's name, the way I do it is I say, I like Ike. So,
plus, I have good news.
What?
Well, I heard you give the URL for my website, BusinessSuccessBuilder.com.
Uh-huh.
But we also have a sister site that is much easier to spell.
Oh, what is it?
KriegerTraining.com.
Oh, I love it. That's KriegerTraining.com.
Training.com. Yeah.
Great, wonderful. So what I would like to bring up is there's one word in my vocabulary that I'm doing. I still work very diligently to abolish it from my vocabulary, and that word is the word try. The word try actually is a root word for the word trial, like, I will give it a trial to see what the verdict will be. Mm-hmm. So if people say to you, I will try to make it to your party, how many times do you see them actually show up?
All I do when I hear about the try is I shift back to a whole George Lucas mentality with our young friend Yoda, actually our old friend Yoda.
Only do.
Our very old friend Yoda.
Yes.
You know, I'm trying. No try. Just do.
There is no try. Only do.
There is no try. Only do.
Only do. And so when I hear somebody use that language, it's like my coaching, claws come out, and I'm like, oh, you don't want to say that word. It's because this, this, and this, and this. And then they go, you know, I never thought of that. But people really don't realize oftentimes how powerful their own language is.
I've built my business on the power and profitability that is inherent in language. Without having to learn, people already know how to sell. They already know how to do all of these things. What we're talking about here is a redeployment of skills people already have.
Mm-hmm.
And the best example of that is instead of being a great presenter and a great talker and salesman, be a great questioner.
Uh-huh.
Just make that little shift, because when people think in terms of, I don't know if it's a sales charisma or a sales curse that some people have, that they have this great gift of gab, people really want to have you listen to them so that you can help them solve their problem, not listen to you tell how you do work and the way. They don't care about the details. All they care about is what you can do for them.
Yeah, what's in it for them.
Yeah, and that is really a major shift that people, again, it's a question of understanding one's greatness rather than living in a world of scarcity, which is really what it is, and being able to say, I have something to offer, I can make a difference, I can solve some people's problems, and I can live a good life.
Yeah, and on that point, it brought to mind a book that I've been reading recently, which the movie The Secret is partially based on. It's The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. And I love how he says in that book that when you focus on the world's poverty rather than the world's abundance, you are adding to their poverty.
Yeah, it speak to the universe and it listens. The no try, there's no try, only do.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a great little exercise that everybody who's listening can do right now.
What's that?
Take a pencil or a pen and put it down on the table in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And then try to pick it up. Now, in most cases, what most people will do is what? They'll pick it up.
Yeah.
But that's not what the instructions were they?
It said to try.
Try to pick them up. There's no action in trying. Trying is putting your fingers down to the pencil but not picking it up.
Wow, that is so clarifying. That's amazing. That did something to me. That's the second thing you did. When I first met you, Ike, if I can digress just slightly, I was sitting in the networking breakfast. When I first got there, we were told, because your Chamber of Commerce has the most awesome way of putting on their functions, because they don't want you to sit with somebody you know. They want you to spread out around the room so you each can meet more people. But I was feeling so timid for some reason and bashful that I needed to sit with my business partner, and there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it, and I argued about it until they just got tired of hearing me and let me just sit with my business partner. And in so doing, I got a huge awakening from that. When you mentioned, because I was sitting there going, I feel ridiculous. I feel like this is my first day of kindergarten, and I'm scared. What's going on with this? And I even said it out loud to my partner, and then you said at the podium, networking is hard because your parents told you not to talk to strangers and only speak when you're spoken to. They meant well, but that's the message you got. So networking is not a natural instinct for you to come in and want to do. It takes training. It takes honing that skill. So can you elaborate a little bit on that, Ike, or a lot?
D, all of the above.
Yeah.
the internal dialogue, we're back to that. It's not only what we say to others, but it's what we say to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, the idea that you would go into a room full of strangers and not, and you said something very interesting. You go, I walked in and I was kind of meek and timid,
mm-hmm.
which is just not who you are.
No.
So in that context, your internal dialogue was so strong that it overrode who you are
mm-hmm.
and put you into almost a different character that if somebody who knew you as vibrant, vivacious Katie would go, wait a minute, that's not the Katie. What is she saying? She doesn't want to meet with these strangers. They go, who is that? Is that a Katie clone?
Yeah.
So we, at that moment, we have these buttons, and sometimes it doesn't take necessarily a parent or a sibling to push them. It
mm-hmm.
can be the events in life. And when you look, Mike Wallace's son, his name is David Walachinsky,
mm-hmm.
wrote a book called The Book of Lists.
Ah.
And they talked about the 10 greatest fears of people in the United States, and it had drowning, it had death by fire, it had plane crash, it had all of those. And you know what the number one fear of all was?
What?
Speaking in public.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's because of this internal dialogue about you can't do that because you might get rejected, you might look stupid, you might...
Well, you're not supposed to speak till you're spoken to.
All of those things that, you know, and when did we get these ideas in our mind? Usually during show and tell in second grade.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when they go, oh, sit down, oh, that wasn't the right answer, oh, that's silly, and those things just sit back there in our...
Subconscious.
Yeah, and they just say, you know, you don't want to go out and sell, you don't want to do all that, so do whatever you can, you know, take with you big flip charts, and don't be authentic with these people because you really don't want to talk to them, you just want to sell something and get out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the people that I work with that I don't actually do sales training. I do sales retraining.
Yes, right.
It's
a redeployment of their skills and of their
very much.
Messages. But for me that morning, authentically, it was the only thing that it was that shut me down. The body snatchers took me and made me all timid and shy. Was remembering that you're not to speak to strangers. It was just a day where I was going through a growth spurt, and that's what came out. And what a wonderful place for it to happen.
In a networking environment, that's good, and you know, because networking is a contact sport.
Oh yeah, and I went and I thanked the ladies that I had previously argued with for trying to get me to understand what they were saying. I thanked them profusely and, you know, totally get it and understand. I had no problem coming right up to you and talking to you. And you, I didn't know you and a lot of other people that morning. So it turned out to be a great awakening for me, which is going to, you know, it's permanent. I'm talking to everybody now, making great eye contact and speaking right up. And it's largely because of something you said.
In this conversation, you're talking about a truth that appeared to you in a reasonably narrow situation. You were at a networking event, and you had a truth that was affecting who you were and how you were responding to the influences around you.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I try to share with people is a conversation about truth. And this is the quote that really helps people come to terms with these truths. Just because you believe something is true, that doesn't make it true. It just makes it true for you.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is it a fact? Oh, I can't speak in public. Or is it some truth that you're relying on at that moment because you probably spoke in public the night before?
Yes, and I love to do. I've given so many keynote speaking engagements
sure.
that I can't even count them, and that's partly how I got this radio show. Somebody at a keynote speaking engagement I did said, "You're the most fearless speaker I've ever heard. You need your own show," and hence I have one. So you know, it doesn't make any sense that I would have been timid and shy that day, but yet there it was, and I was.
So, but what are the truths that our listeners have to deal with that are keeping them from achieving the success that they know they can, you know, arrive at?
Mm-hmm.
What is it that, that little voice? We had growing up, you know, we see our computers now and we get all fascinated with all this digital technology, mm-hmm. but our brains are the greatest digital recorder in the world.
Mm.
And since we were babies, this recorder's been on 24/7.
Yes.
And it's recorded all of this stuff. And depending upon the situation, it knows exactly, you know, how to do its playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, and I believe from everything that you shared about your work, you're able to have people take a hold of a truth that they cling to,
mm-hmm.
and ask them, how has this been in their best interest, clinging to this?
Mm-hmm.
And once they come to the realization that they were doing it basically because it was a habit they had gotten into,
mm-hmm.
how do they break this? And the first step in the habit is understanding that it's our perspective.
Yes.
It's the filter.
Yes, it is. And what I like to ask when I'm coaching people is, if you were to come back to this reality again, what would be the one thing that's inside of you right now that you would not want to bring back with you? And once you discover that one thing, simply erase it out of your life. And that's a very powerful thing to say to somebody and get them to do. It's a very powerful exercise. So, you know, it's like I'm candidly sharing that I was shy and timid for a moment at a networking event because I want the listeners to get that. It doesn't matter what you do in your life. You have moments where that's going to happen. And the thing is not that it happened to you. The thing is what you do about it. And what I did about that was have a huge breakthrough. So, you know, I got awareness about how I was showing up. And when you get awareness, that's half the solution.
You were able to view your truth through a filter that allowed you to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the breakdown for so many people comes in. It comes in is that I heard this years ago that when I talk about looking through a filter, and I'm sure that you know your listeners have heard this before, but if you're looking at a white shirt through yellow glasses,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know you're wearing the glasses,
mm-hmm.
what color is the shirt?
It's yellow.
It's yellow, and there it is true.
Yes.
And the challenge is most people are not aware of the filters that they have coming up and down because they're coming up just based on whatever stimulus and response is going on. That, you know, you walk into a networking event, a bunch of strangers. Okay, so playlist 1,231 start playing. Uh-oh, get timid and shy, don't speak to people.
Mm-hmm. Or you could get the playlist that is, hi, how are you? I'm so-and-so. Nice mm-hmm. to meet you. What do you do in life?
And the declaration of who you are when you enter into these, plus a knowledge of what you want your outcome to be,
mm-hmm.
pretty much why you're there, which a lot of people, they don't know what they want. They know what they don't want. So, and we could probably talk about 2 hours on that.
Yes.
The idea that when you go into these things, not to fool yourself and fake it till you make it,
mm-hmm.
but actually get to a point where you're able to declare and say, okay, so who I am today is a successful business person who's going in using face-to-face marketing as a way to grow my business.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I'm bold and courageous.
You can say you're bold and courageous, just say, you know, who I am is a great communicator. It doesn't have to be bold and courageous necessarily.
I like that best, a great communicator. Because
mm-hmm.
my name is in there, Kate.
Yeah, communicator. I like that.
Communicator, yes.
Well, you know, I have a special place in my heart for anybody named Katie that's my granddaughter.
You have a granddaughter named Kate.
Yeah,
is it a year and a half now?
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I'm partial.
I'm sure.
Talking.
I love it. And so while we're on topic, talking about a personal side of your life, where are you located for our listeners?
I'm in the San Fernando Valley, and I have an office in Northridge,
mm-hmm.
Earthquake Central.
And that's 25 miles northwest of downtown Los Angeles?
It is. And
uh-huh.
For those listening, I'm sure that other people can share their stories, but the earthquake was under my bedroom.
Oh, it was under mine, too.
There you go, see?
Oh, yeah. That was. I've got a story about that one. It'll end up in the book I'm writing. Writing a book called Huckleberry Memoirs.
Mm.
And you read one of the stories from it.
It's a great story.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun book. But and so you have your wife, Jennifer, of 34 years.
Yes.
And your children, you have four children.
I have four children.
Leah and her husband, Charlie.
Correct.
James, Brian, and Ross. And you have a cat named Madeline.
Madeline. Actually, she only thinks her name is Kitty.
Oh, how cute. And so you've been in the training business for nearly 40 years.
Yeah.
And we know how you got into the training business because you told us. And let's see, what are some of the professional organizations and activities with which you have been involved? Do you want to just name a quick list of whatever is the best things that come to mind?
Well, when one-on-one coaching isn't available, a industry-related organization can be enough of a support system for many people that they can still excel at what they do based on the feedback and talking with others. So if you're in sales, you have sales and marketing executives. I was just honored to have served as an officer for them for many years out here on the West Coast, and they're really trying to make the world a kinder and gentler place for salespeople by offering them the support and everything that you know, goes with that.
Wait.
What?
Hmm?
I'm sorry, I thought you said wait.
No, I said great.
Oh, great. see what I said? I need
help. Wow, you follow orders very
I'm
well.
Going, okay, I'll wait.
No, you don't have to wait.
Association of Professional Consultants, that was that's an organization that you know I'm very fond of.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an entrepreneurial organization, it's now called they changed its name to CEO Place, but it was called Income Builders International, and I served as a mentor coach helping literally thousands of entrepreneurs over a 3-year period. As you stated when we began the show, think in terms of the future of their business. What are their revenue streams? How do they project into the future so that they can create a plan, a reverse-engineered plan, with success being something that's a foregone conclusion? And that's, again, a very powerful exercise for people. Instead of saying, someday, maybe, I hope, we just say, well, 5 years from now, this is what is happening, and you can reverse it and come back to today and figure out your plan in the future.
Yeah, do have.
Yeah, very much.
And, do have.
Yeah, that's it's right in line with that.
Mm-hmm. Do have. And you've been in the Chamber of Commerce community for a couple of decades, right?
Very. Yes, and served as chairman of one of the organizations, and I have been I'll use the term honored.
Wonderful. Well, you're really great to have in any organization, Ike. I just can't say enough about you. And I'm just very, very pleased that you're doing what you're doing in the world, and you listen to your calling, and you're acting on it. And, you know, I want you to get as rich as you possibly can so that you can show others what is capable of them. And, you know, it's each one of us can be right up there with Bill Gates as far as abundance is concerned. There is enough to go around for every one of us to have more than we need. And, you know, just all of us to give up the timidness and the shyness about our greatness and get out there and get after it.
And one of the challenges, and then I will defer to whichever direction we're going, is that...
We're coming up on the end of the hour.
Okay.
Yeah, it's in the wrap-up mode.
Well, why don't you go ahead then?
No. What was that? I wanted to be born. What was it? What were you going
to
say?
I had about 3 things to say, and they all got jumbled because I interrupted you, and I'm guilty. So let's move forward.
But one of them is still floating around in your mind, and I want to know what it is.
It was about the Chambers of Commerce.
Tell me.
The fact that networking for a business as a marketing strategy is one of the most powerful ways to build your business.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get past the "I don't want to speak to strangers," go check out your local Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, that was exactly what I was about to say, so you were right on my wavelength.
Good.
I wanted you to tell our listeners the benefits of joining the Chamber of Commerce. I am the member of a couple of them right now, and I'm looking to become a member of many more. And I love it. I went to a breakfast this morning, as a matter of fact. got up before my clock went off at 6 o'clock and was there, had breakfast, and was like, whoa, that was pretty cool. I can do lots of stuff when I get up that early. But just tell our listeners briefly what your experience has been with the Chamber and how it's assisted you in your growth.
Well, aside from the fact that they are an advocate for small business and large business, but local business, depending upon what the where the Chamber is located, they have all of those, you know, ideas and concepts that people have always had of, you know, the old guy sitting around with the cigars. And that's not what it's about. What it's about is creating an environment in which new contacts can be made so that you end up in someone's circle of influence. And I'll elaborate on that very briefly. Referrals are a risky business. You want to make sure that the person that you're referring is countable and that they're going to do a good job for whoever you refer them
right.
to. You can't really find that out on a first meeting. So what Chambers of Commerce offer, a little different than leads groups, et cetera, is an environment in which through relationship you end up moving into the other person's circle of influence.
Yeah.
A circle of influence into which you would have probably never been invited unless and until the business relationship, an authentic business relationship, was set. And Chambers of Commerce as a whole have been excellent in creating an environment where this type of face-to-face marketing can take place so that people can see how they can support each other and help each other's businesses grow. And especially, you know, the chambers that I'm involved with and been involved with a lot of them, for the most part, that's the mindset. How can we assist our members in helping them grow their business? And how can we provide them an opportunity for both marketing and maybe, you know, low-cost advertising? What are all of the issues that a business person faces? Your Chamber of Commerce will help you with that.
Wonderful. Tell us briefly, Ike, when you're going to be doing another teleseminar so our listeners can just dial in and get a chance to talk to you personally.
Excellent. Thank you for asking that. One of the features on the redesigned Krieger Training site is there is a blog in there, KriegerTraining/blog. And on there, over the next couple of days, we're going to be putting up our schedule. So for those people who find what we've discussed to be interesting and want to peruse that site, if they'll just kind of bookmark it and come back over the next probably week or so, we'll have all of those up, because we have one in August coming up, and it's a teleconference. You can do it in your car. We have a technology that we use where you don't even have to necessarily get on the teleconference to listen to it. It would be just like your listeners are now hearing it over the Internet.
That's fantastic. So, I love new technology. It just makes life so much easier. And with that said, Ike, I want to thank you profusely for being my guest this evening. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. I know the listeners have enjoyed it as well. I hope everybody took notes, because this was good stuff. I'm holding the phone in one hand and my pen in the other, taking notes myself. I mean, this is powerful stuff. It can change your life. And Ike, you are a fantastic coach. You're right up there with any of the teachers I've seen in The Secret.
Thank you.
And I believe that great things are in store for you beyond your own imagination. And I know that you're open to receiving them, and it takes a lot of generosity to receive, even more so than to give. So all of you with that said out there, work on that in yourselves, because the more you're able to receive, the more we get to contribute to you, and the cycle just keeps on giving and taking and taking and giving. So I will say good night to everybody, and thank you for listening. Take a deep breath, stand up straight, and love yourselves, and tune in next week, because we have Enlighten Up Comedy, where you don't just have ha-has, you have ah-has. So tune in next Tuesday and listen. Thanks again, Ike, and thank you, everyone. Thanks, Don Newsome, and over and out. See you next week.
It was delightful. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.